Good morning, brothers and sisters. I wonder you still remember what I've been sharing all this time. I've been sharing the eight men in Genesis. Why would I share the eight men in Genesis? Because just like using a GPS. GPS not only telling you where you are, but where you are going. The Bible tells us what's the plan of God for us. And it tells us where I am now and what God is doing in my life, God is leading me. So if you want to know where do you come from, what's the purpose of your life, and what God is doing in your life, it's there. This is your GPS. So in the book of Genesis, we can see what's the purpose of God. Today I'm going to talk about Enoch in Genesis, not the Enoch in Calaville. But I'm sure Enoch would pay attention this time, very close attention, of course. Okay, the reason why I shared about these eight men I mentioned just now, because God has a purpose. God has a plan since the creation of the world. And I always mention these three verses. God, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So big. Before even God created heaven and earth, God has chosen you who are sitting here right now. He chose you. He knows you, so much about you. And what's his purpose? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. So I want you to know he chose us before the time. He knows what he is doing. That's the explanation why you are here. And not only that, he has a purpose. He wants us to be holy. That means we separate for him without blame. He's going to change our life without blame before him in love. Predestined us to adoption as sons. So God is doing a lot of work in your life, your study, your family, what you experience after your study, your work, your family, your marriage, all the things in your life has a purpose. Not for a career, but to change our life to be as sons, to be like him. So now we see God wants sons to be like Jesus Christ. So what kind of qualities are with this man's? So we have mentioned about Adam. When in the life of Adam, we can see God gave Adam free will. He can choose. Not only he can choose A or B, today I have lunch, I eat apple or oranges. Not just like that. The free will is to choose he loved God or not. So for Adam, God gave him free will to make choice. The choice to show that he loved God, he obeyed God. So today, God's still doing the same thing in your life. He gave you lots of choices. We make lots of choices every day. We can make our choice to show I love God, or make our choice to show I don't love you, God. I want to go my own way. So today, God wants us to make choices, to choose him, to show our love to him. That's what we can learn from Adam. And Abel, last time, we mentioned about faith. This faith is not on something. Oh, I have faith. I can do well in the exam. Not that kind of faith. Faith always points to someone. And Abel, his faith is in the sacrifice of the lamb. That lamb can please God. So his faith is not about how good he can do. His faith is based on the land. Today, what does God want us? He wants to make our faith to focus on Christ. So not how good I am. Maybe you have sinned a lot during this holiday, saying a lot of wrong words, doing a lot of wrong things, a lot of bad things go into your mind, but not according to how good you are, you can come to please God, but according to Christ. So when I come to speak, I always remember I have sinned this week, but not focusing on my weakness, but focusing on the blood of the Lamb, I dare to come before God. Not because how good I am, I can please Him, but because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of the blood of the Lamb, I know something. God accepted me, God loved me, God forgave me. I'm forgiven. I don't have to look down upon others. Because by faith in Christ, I receive love from God. And then with this love, I can share this love with others. So this faith brings out a lot of things. This faith, last time I shared, this faith in Christ speaks of, I am no good, but God still loves me, accept me. Because of this, I can also love others and accept others. God forgive me, I can have forgiveness to others, show forgiveness to others. So this faith can bear fruit in our life. If God loves you, you should love others. If God forgave you, we should forgive others. If God accepts how bad you are, you should also accept people not as so good to you. So this life of faith should be in us. This faith speaks of that even though I'm a sinner, but I rely on the blood of the Lamb, God accepted me. Now today we are going to talk about the third person, Enoch. Enoch, in the Bible, it always mentioned him. He walked with God. So this walk with God is just not physically movement, but it speaks of a relationship. When two people walk together, they influenced one another. And in this process, we are being transformed. When I we call it dating with my when I was dating with my wife, I changed her. She changed me a bit by bit. I don't like that kind of food, but dating with her, I thought, oh, that's not so bad at all. So this dating can also change people. May affect you. His thinking may affect you. This is transformation. Now, as we look closer in Genesis, let's look at Enoch, talking about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, 21 to 24. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. That man is the longest living person in the world. 969 years old. And what does his name mean? His name means after his death comes the judgment, which speaks of the flood. So his death will sense after his death will come the flood. So because at that generation people are full of sin. So God said there will be a flood coming. Enoch, at 65 years old, when he knows that God will send judgment, and after his death, Methuselah, judgment will come. That totally changed his idea on earth. Now he looks on this earth so differently. Yes, this earth looks so beautiful. Oh, there are so many people so many inventions, just like today. Oh, this world is so full of technology, high tech, all the phone. We always think this world is getting better and better. The technology is so good. In the 20, 30 years ago, the phone is like a brick that size, mobile phone, and yet, the technology is so good, holding the phone, you can talk to anyone. But now you don't even need to use your hand to hold the phone, you can just click and talk. But the world seems so good, now we think. We love this world. But for Enoch, he realized the whole world is under judgment. He did not put his heart, his love on this world, because this world is going to be judged soon. Imagine you are someone having a good time on a luxury cruiser. The name is Titanic. You seem to be enjoying a good life here, thinking, I'm in second class. But if I work harder, I may promote to a first class. I can enjoy a luxury life. But if I tell you, this is Titanic, the boat is going to sink in 2 days or in 2 hours, what do you think? I think I haven't tried the dinner yet. The food is so nice. No, your mind is about, where's the lifeboat? Isn't it? So once you know this world is going to be judged, and you know after his son died, judgment will come. So his whole life turned from seeking the world, he turned around. After he got Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. He still lived a normal life. He still have sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God took him. As if he was walking with God all the time, and God said, you're my friend, come. Don't go home, come with me, come to my home, come to visit me. So God took him. Just now I was looking for Enoch. Hey, where's Enoch? God took him. And suddenly Enoch walked through the door. Oh, there he is. Okay. I was wondering where was Enoch just now. Okay. So if we walk close with God, God took him. And in Hebrew, it mentioned him. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. So Enoch was there are two persons in the Bible. God has taken them directly. One is Enoch, the other one is? Elijah. Okay. And was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. So his faith caused Enoch not to seek success in this world, not to seek comfort in this world, not to seek wealth in this world, not to seek anything in this world. But his walk with God caused him to seek him in this world. So he walked with God, and yet he constantly seek God. So you may ask, what does walk with God mean? How can I walk with God today? So walk with God, just now we mentioned, his focus is not on this world. As if this world has nothing to attract him. As if this world has no reward for him. He walk with God because in his heart there's a greater reward. Your friends may tell you, hey, do this, do this. We can have that. That's our success.
Go do this, do this. You can earn this, earn this, earn this. We are looking for a lot of things in this world. But for Enoch, nothing interests me. This whole world is going to pass away. The success, the wealth, is just like a Titanic. All will sink when God's judgment comes. So in his heart, nothing can interest him. Even he has sons and daughters, but that doesn't stop him to walk with God, because he wants to seek him. He is the reward for Enoch. So for someone who wants to walk with God, God is his reward. So in the Old Testament, not only Enoch walked with God. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it talks about Noah. Noah also walked with God because of the coming flood, isn't it? And indeed, not only Noah, in the Israelites, God saved them from Egypt. And these 2 million people, about 2 million people, walked with God in the wilderness. In the book of Numbers, many things happened at that time. So now we see in Old Testament, God wants people to walk with him. And in New Testament, not just walk with me. God, Jesus called his disciples, follow me. So this is the new version. Walk with God 2.0. New addition to walk with God is follow me. Follow Jesus. Now, what does that really mean? So, say, after the meeting, let us go a walk in the park. If we walk together, oh, look at the trees, look at the birds. Feel the grass, feel, smell. Now, we can see the same thing. We can hear the same thing. We can hear the birds singing, the breeze or anything. We can feel. We share the same experience, isn't it? So if we walk together, that means we go to the same place. We hear the same thing. We see the same thing. We feel the same thing. Oh, this is nice. When I say this is nice, you may think, oh, this is really nice. So we share the same feeling, isn't it? So walk with me or follow me means of something like this. You go where I go. Go together. Now, that means not just outwardly you go. When you see God is there, you follow him. When you see God's working there, you follow him. Youth camp. God is working there. I go. Did you go to the youth camp? When God is doing work there, he go, I will go. There are hands and feet ministry in Auburn. We distribute food to the poor people who are in need. When God is working there, I can choose to do something else, but maybe God called you, I'm going. Come. Remember, there's a centurion. His servant is sick, and he's asked Jesus. Someone sent people to ask Jesus, come to his place to save him. And Jesus told his disciples, come, let us go. So, can you see where Jesus is going? Can you see where God is doing his work? You go there. Why do you come to the meeting? Is it your parents forced you to come? Or he go there, I will follow him. When Jesus is doing God's work, he went to Jerusalem. His disciples, what did they do? They followed him. So I'm not just telling you, go and walk around the park, God is with you. Yes, God is with you. But hold on, where is God doing his work now? Where is Jesus working? When he works, you go there to follow him. When he went to Jerusalem, you follow. When he leads you to the youth camp, you go. Not just attending the meeting. You see what I see. We look around, we see many people. We look around, we see many things. But so often we look without seeing. Jesus see a centurion. The centurion said to Jesus, "You don't have to come to my place to, you just say a word. My daughter will be healed." And Jesus, in Israel, I've never seen such great faith. So Jesus can see faith in that person. Can you? Can you see faith in people? Can you see people suffering? Jesus went into the temple. There are rich people putting a lot of money in the box. But there was a widow putting 2 coins in the offering box. Jesus see that. We see a lot. We can see the rich people. Can you see someone putting 2 coins there? Can you see the thing that God can see? God focus on the one who has faith. Can you see the one who has faith? I see a lot of people. What? Poor widow? Where? I can't see the widow. So you may come here to sit. Can you see the thing God wants you to see? Can you see, there is faith. That I can see love there. People serving there. People so faithfully doing work for God there. I can see. Or you just see a crowd. Can you see what Jesus sees? Jesus can see there's faith. Jesus can see there's love. When Jesus looked at he taught his disciples, look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Can you see God's provision, God's caring for people? Yeah, there are flowers. I know what kind of flower that is. I know what kind of bird that is. That's beautiful. But can you see the provision of God? Can you see the love of God? We see a lot of things, but we can't see what God sees. When we walk with God, can you hear what I hear? There are many people around crying, look at Jesus. But someone cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus, the blind, he cried out. So many people talking, so many people around, and yet Jesus can hear that cry of Bartimaeus. Can you hear what Jesus hears? Jesus can hear the cry of someone who is in help, who needs help.
You hear many things today, maybe a lot of songs, maybe a lot of things you hear. But can you hear the cry of the needy? Someone who needs to be cared, can you hear their cry? In the storm, the wind was so strong, Jesus can sleep very well. But when his disciples cried, "Lord, save us! We are going to die. Jesus awoke immediately. Jesus can hear so well. Can we hear the cry of others? You may see some friends. You may be joking. They may be joking. Can you hear their cry in their hearts, their need? Can you feel the emptiness of their soul? They are crying for love. Can you hear what God's here? Can you see what you see? Or you see the bad things about people? You feel what I feel. There's a leper. Jesus touched him. He can feel the emptiness, the loneliness, the rejection in that leper's life. And yet he touched that leper. He filled his heart. Can you feel your parents' hearts? Can you feel your friends' need? Can you feel it? They are crying sometimes. And when you know their need, would you touch them? Let God's touch them and change their life. Maybe your friend is in deep trouble. You may go to him and say, "How are you today? You look worried. How can I help you?" You are touching a leper, just like showing God's love to somebody. Walking with God is not abstract. How can I feel God? No, here. God is speaking to you through others. See, there's love. There's God's work in there. Someone is in trouble. God is working in that man's life. When you see someone going to baptism, can you see God is working in his life or in her life? Baptism is for you to see. The testimony is for you to hear. And you can feel God is speaking to you. This is walking with God, what I'm talking about. Can you see? Can you feel? Can you listen? Would you touch that person? He needs to be. Show your care, show your concern. So many people crowded around Jesus, and yet that woman with the problem with flow of blood, with 12 years, and yet he struggled up and touched Jesus, and immediately she was healed. Jesus was touched by others. He can feel the touch. So many people around, but that touch touched him. Were you touched by the one, or are your hearts too cold and too hard? Can't be touched. Someone cried to you, "Help me. Sorry, I'm busy." You can't be touched. You are too hard, too cold, too strong. You can show no mercy to others. Can you feel like Jesus? His heart filled with compassion. People are like sheep without being fed. His heart being touched. Are your hearts just focusing on having fun, having good time, having food? having enjoyment, can your hearts be touched? Can you see God is working? Can you hear God is speaking to you? Can you feel when someone is giving testimony? Can you reach out your hand to touch people and change their life? Can you show a helping hand to touch people, to feel what I feel? If Jesus was here right now, he may touch that person, give him a pat. Would you touch that person as well? That's what I'm talking about, walking with God. You think what I think. Jesus always changed his, when you follow Jesus, his disciples, he will change their thinking. Do not worry about food or what you wear. Look at the birds, look at the flowers. God provided for them. He tried to change your mind. So when you walk with God, his words will change you. Can you think like him? Do not fear who killed the body, but we should rather fear who is able to destroy body and soul in hell. So we fear many people, but we do not fear God. Maybe our thinking should change. We should fear God. Oh, I want to be great. Oh, no. If you want to be great, be a servant. Those who serve should be the leaders. So he always changes our mind. As you walk with God, he will talk to you. He will change your mind with his words. So if you don't read God's words, I wonder, you will think like everybody else. So if you want to think differently, follow him. Follow his words. Listen to him. He will speak to you. So in the end, when we walk with him, we'll be more like him. We think like him. What would Jesus do? And you and I are one. We become like him. So this is walking with him. This is a process. This is the transformation. You go where I go. You see what I see. You hear what I hear. You feel what I feel. You think what I think. You become like me. You and I are one. So God doesn't want us to follow him, and he wants us to change, transform. How to walk with God. Now we know what it means, but how? Can I see him walking? I can't. So in Galatians, it's talked about, I say then, walk in the Spirit. The Spirit is inside us. And what would that clearly show us? That you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. So in inside you, there are two modes, as if. You follow the Spirit. If you don't follow the Spirit, automatically, you are following the flesh. The lust of the flesh. That is your driving force if you are not walking with the Lord. So for those who does not want to walk with God, does not walk in the Spirit, definitely, you are walking, fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So either this or this. You can't be both at the same time. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So what's wrong with walking in the flesh? Now, if you walk in the flesh, this would be the outcome. And these are the works of the flesh, but they're so evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, all this sexual sin, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, anything. And of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you follow the flesh, your life is full of this. This is your choice. If you walk this way, going along the way, you see this, see this, see this, see this. This will come along stronger and stronger. This is, you're going down that path, this is what you will have. You are making choices every day. Walk with the Spirit or walk in the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, what happens? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus, God gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide us to live a life like this. So walk with God, walk in Spirit, or follow the flesh. If we go back, if we follow all this, we can see you're focusing on pleasing yourself. All this pleasure, all this anger and hate is focusing on yourself. You are not diligently follow him. Remember Enoch? When in the book of Hebrew it mentioned God, he is the rewarder for those who seek him, diligently seek him. If we seek him, we are not following this. So if we follow the Spirit, we will be, this will come along. So we seek him, we want to know him, we want to serve him, we want to relate to him, we want to please him. Walk in the Spirit is not looking for this. You don't have to look for this. You just follow to serve God. And this will come along. If you're focusing on knowing Jesus, serving Jesus, you will have joy, you will have peace. These are coming along. You don't have to, I want to have joy, I want to have peace. You don't, this is not your goal. When you follow Jesus, this, all this will come out naturally. If you are focusing, following your flesh, following what you want to do, we'll end up with this. But if we focus on knowing Jesus, remember I say just now, can I see what you see, Lord? We have to pray to him, show me where I should go. When you come here, show me what I should see. Let me hear what you want me to hear. You may come to this meeting. Can you see what God wants you to see? Did you hear what God said to you? Did you feel you are touched by God? Did God touch your heart, speaks to you in your heart? Do you realize you need to change your thinking? Do you want to be more like him? Are we seeking him? Are we diligent seek him? This is a question we need to ask ourselves. I like the song we sang just now, Undivided. Can we go to sing that song again? Undivided. 2:3-8. But before we sing, we look at verse 1. Give me an undivided heart. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to walk with God, if you want to seek Him, you must have focused. You can't follow the flesh and follow the Spirit at the same time. You have undivided heart, that I might fear your name. Teach me to walk in righteous path and follow in your ways. If you want to follow God, how about your hearts? Can it your divided heart and follow your ways? But I failed, for you are gracious. But I sin, God can forgive you. Hear, O Lord, and answer me. Is that your desire? Yes, we fail, just like we walk. As we learn to walk, we fail a lot of times. And yet we don't stop there crying. Stand up again and walk again. God has forgiven us. He is gracious and forgiving. Let us sing. This may be a song of Enoch. Undivided heart to follow God, to walk with Him.
Give me an undivided heart, that I might fear your name. Teach me to walk in righteous path and follow in your ways. For you are gracious and forgiving, hear, O Lord, and answer me.
All right.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you teach us how to follow you and walk with you, seeking you diligently, for you are our reward. We pray that you go and we will follow. And you open our eyes to see what you see. You open our ear to hear what you want us to hear. And you can touch our hearts. We pray that we can feel your touch. We can hear your words. Every day walking on earth is to seek you, to know you, to serve you, to love you. Deliver us from walking in our flesh. Deliver us from living in sin. We pray that we have a heart to follow you. Hear our prayer, Lord. Teach us to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.